I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
This is the Sexy Unique Podcast, an exploration of Vanderpump Rules.
Ain't nobody got me feeling like I'm feeling you.
And I'm your host, Lara Marie Shane Hall.
Yeah. Everybody freeze, put your hands up. We ain't about to take it easy, I hope you cakes up.
Hi everyone.
Hi.
Huge news that broke today.
Well, first of all, happy Vanderpump.
Happy. There's so much going on. Today, there actually is like a thousand things that have happened.
Yesterday we were on the brink of war.
Yeah.
And then we woke up this morning to not only have Meghan and Harry basically given up being royal.
Mm-hmm.
Grimes is pregnant.
What?
With Elon Musk's seed.
Whoa. Whoa.
She announced it on Instagram in a like nude photo that Instagram just pulled, and she's pregnant in her belly. She animated like a fetus.
Chic.
And like had different color eyes. And like Janelle Monáe was like, I love you. She was like one of the first comments I saw.
Who said that?
Janelle Monáe.
Love that.
And so they're...
Wow, that's a surprise to me.
Well, I thought maybe she was like, I'm pregnant with my album.
Yeah. It's so funny because like... Okay, we're kind of psychic, I think, because I was editing the bonus episode today. For anyone that wants weekly bonus episodes, you can get them at patreon.com/sexyunitepodcast. But we talk about Grimes and Meghan and Harry in the bonus episode, like pre all of this stuff.
That's
breaking.
Weird.
Isn't that weird?
We are.
We're fucking tapped in.
We're like Dune witches.
We are Dune witches.
But so she's pregnant.
Okay, so Grimes is pregnant.
Also, Elon Musk has like 10 kids.
Oh yeah, he is like a
he has like
a baby daddy.
I think he loves to like
father children.
Yeah, I think that's like part of his like maniacal like.
He thinks it's hot.
Or he's like, I have like.
That's honestly the best kind of person to have. 10 to 12 kids is a billionaire.
Yeah,
because so, it's like they will want for nothing.
Yeah. But Grimes secured the bag.
She sure did. Ladies, take note.
Take note.
Take note.
Ladies,
absolutely.
Alien hybrids, take note.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they really love each other. And
sure.
Whatever weird dynamic they have works for them.
I see it for them.
That baby is going to have the craziest life of like I can imagine.
That baby won't speak any language except just like high pitched frequencies.
He'll have the dial up tone.
It'll be like
the original AOL dial up tone will be the baby's first words.
That's what his cry will sound like when he exits.
Yeah,
the vagina.
We're saying his, but it could be a woman.
Oh yeah, or any yeah
female non-binary. Yeah, non-binary.
Just like we'll call it the baby.
The baby.
The baby will.
Baby Musk.
Cry. And the cry will sound like the AOL dial tone, but then it will only speak in frequencies.
Until
and
like it's
dolphin,
like seven.
Dolphin sounds.
Yeah.
It can communicate already with dolphins, and it is from the womb.
Grimes communicates via whale noises.
She dives. She's probably taken up free diving, because I think that that's something that rich people do.
Yeah.
And she free dives all the way. Like, she can hold her breath for like 8 minutes. And free dives down, like 100 feet into the ocean, and then she's like
it feels really good on her stomach to be like at least 80 feet below.
Yeah, it's good for the baby.
So she's going to give birth in a submersible. She's going to do...
The baby will swim...
Oh, my God.
Float to the surface.
The baby... They're going to take a submersible down to the Marianas Trench. Like the Challenger depth.
The baby will be
depth.
Born at the very bottom of the Marianas Trench.
And on its birth certificate, it will say Marianas Trench.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy for Grimes. Happy mazel, for Elon.
Mazel, mazel.
But the real explosive news for... At least for me.
Yeah.
Kind of for you.
Kind of for me, because I knew how explosive it was for you.
It shook me to my core. I was on the CNN homepage during work, like during a pitch meeting, and I like just stopped the meeting and was like, Meghan and Harry are leaving. And they're
stop the presses.
And my boss is British, and she was like, oh. Like, I don't think
you get the reaction you wanted out of anyone.
My coworker Sarah was like, I think because I was sweeping her into my mania, she was like enmeshed in it. And my mom and my sister were like, we were on a text thread because mm-hmm. the three of us are obsessed. But so Meghan and Harry announced today via Instagram, of course, that they're, which is like a step above the Notes app, which would have been really funny.
Yeah.
They're stepping down from their royal duties. And they're going to move, split their time between England and North America.
I love the vagueness of
I know.
North America.
Well, they were just in Canada for almost 2 months, which is like they needed a break.
Who doesn't need a break?
Yeah, who doesn't need
just retreat to Canada. That feels really cozy to me.
Who doesn't need a nearly 2 month break in David Foster's Vancouver home?
That's
where they stayed.
I would actually love that break.
Because she's friends with Catherine McPhee, of course.
Of course.
So
I love any B-list actress. You can pretty much bet your bottom dollar Meghan Markle is like best friends with
her.
Oh,
of course. I mean, she was...
But like B-list actress that have like ascended above B-list because they've married well.
Meghan was a B. She was like a B star.
She was a B.
Like a solid B.
A solid B, yeah.
Like... People knew her, people didn't know her.
Mm-hmm. But she was like working, making lots of money.
She has millions of dollars.
Yeah. The star of a TV show.
Star of a very popular TV show.
I've had people tell me they love Suits.
My mom loves Suits.
It has a lot of people that love it.
But Meghan, so I think they're going to live in Canada. And she has a lot of friends in Canada because that's where they film Suits.
Oh, yeah.
That's how she met Prince Harry, was in Canada.
Mm-hmm. Was through friends.
Was through, I think...
Because she's in, like, high society in Canada.
Yeah, she's friends with Jessica Mulroney.
That's her stylist.
Her stylist, but they're, like, best friends. Mm-hmm. And so I think she... I heard conflicting things. I heard Serena Williams set her up with Prince Harry, but then I heard some other random person did, who's, like, in the aristocracy of Europe, but all via Toronto.
What a hub.
So they're going to live in, I think, Vancouver or like British Columbia and be like part of the Commonwealth there
mm-hmm.
and still have their titles. So they're still going to be royal and like your Royal Highness. They just won't do.
They don't have to like, she's no longer has to put on a pair of pantyhose every day
yeah.
and like go wave at people.
Which she's going to have to do anyway,
mm-hmm.
minus the pantyhose. But
well, she'll just like get to. She'll get to choose. Like, she can wear what she wants and, like, do whatever. And
yeah.
maybe, do you think she'll act again?
I don't think so. I feel like she's gonna, I read the BBC report, and I think they're gonna really focus on their charities and their Sussex Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So, and in their statement, they said they're looking to be financially independent. And I was like, LOL.
I loved that as, like, a fuck you. And then it really sucked me in. I was like, yeah, go you guys. Like, you rock. Like, be financially independent. And then I was like, oh, that doesn't matter. Like, he's always been...
I feel like that was a dig at...
That was a dig at the royal family.
And, like, William and Kate, mm-hmm. for sure. So, it was, like, a very... And they said, they made sure to say, like, they will still be performing duties to honor Her Majesty the Queen.
What does that mean, though? Like, they'll show up to her birthday party?
I think they're still going to be, like, royal figureheads.
Mm-hmm.
Just not, like, because, like, Princess Beatrice and
Eugenie
are, they're not technically paid princesses.
Okay.
So the thing that's why it's a big deal is Meghan and Kate are technically princesses.
That's their job.
Their title is technically princess of the United Kingdom.
And that's like their salary. That's like they're getting paid a salary to do that.
Yeah. I think, I mean, I'm insane. But I think on Archie, their child's birth records, Prince Harry and Meghan listed their things as prince and princess, like their titles. And wow. Kate has done that. So the difference between the lesser princesses and Kate and Meghan was that they're getting paid to be princesses.
Mm-hmm.
So Meghan's giving up taxpayer salaried to be a princess, which is like insane.
That's actually insane that you would, the taxpayers, like pay them.
They pay for their security.
They pay for everything.
They pay for
do.
Everything.
Yeah.
The family has, I think, their own fortune from like ancient shit. So like they're
like old books.
Like books and chairs.
Books and like stones.
And chandeliers.
Yeah.
But like, so they're, I think they're
but
worth,
also like, how are all the Brits
not
just like loving it?
I think a lot of them hate the royal family because they think they're like parasites.
I already have like my problems with taxes, but if I had knew that I was paying like
Meghan Markle's security detail
for her to like fly around and like stay in the Vancouver house, I'd be like, okay, well, I think you should also be financially independent.
Well, yeah, and like I think they're, what was I going to say?
But even if they start a foundation.
Well, they have one already.
Okay. So they just put their money into the foundation.
But like, Harry, what's Harry going to work at, like a consulting firm? Like, what's he going to do?
TBD. That seems like it might be the biggest question in their relationship.
Harry.
Is Harry. And like, what does he want to do with his life? Because she's already
a hustler.
She has achieved above and beyond like any dream.
Yeah,
right?
She was on
TV. Gotten to like the pinnacle of career, like any sort of success, and now gets like the joy of pushing through that and being like, what's next in this world where I can literally have anything I want? He, on the other hand, has been like part of this family his entire life.
I mean, he was in the army.
He was in the army, but like, don't you just have to do that kind
of? Yeah, I think they, I mean, William was a pilot, so I think they like actually, I think Harry was in Afghanistan.
They did.
Like, so
remember he ripped his shirt off and ran away to go.
The hottest.
Yeah.
Oh, in that video.
Mm-hmm. But like, army is kind
Harry's
of something.
Hot.
Harry's so hot.
His body.
I'm glad that he's going to be like a free agent.
Mm-hmm. But there,
being in the army is also a way to just like defer lots of life decisions in his case, it seems like. And so then once army is over, then he just like was waving at people.
I mean, he's the spare heir.
Yeah. And after he waved for like a few years, then he met Meghan. Then they got married and like had a kid. So that took up a few years. But now I feel like it's really at like, okay, what do you actually like want to do with your life?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's.
And that would be a hard person to date, kind of, and be married to.
Meghan?
No, Harry.
Oh, yeah.
Being like, what is your, like, life purpose?
I bet she asked him that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, she went to, like, Northwestern. Like, she's, like,
she's a fucking
She worked
champion.
Her way up to, like, being a star in a TV show. So, like, she'll be fine. But Harry, you're right, is the question mark. But, like, the big question now is like, are they, because the Queen wrote immediately, Buckingham Palace wrote like,
they clapped back.
Basically, we're like, hold your horses.
Yeah.
We're still in talks. Like, they said, we understand that the Duke and Duchess want something different, but.
Cunty. That's cunty.
But it's still up for debate. So
this
like
is the royal family's like Iran attack.
This like,
is their version of like what we've been through.
Well, imagine on the flip side, imagine you're the queen, you're in your 90s, you don't have that much longer. Like, hate to say it, love the queen, but like she's not going to be around forever.
Yeah.
And like she's probably like, do I give my son the crown or my grandson? Because like there's lots of people who think William might just be king to make it like a longer reign and like a youthful, you know, whatever. But like, so this is probably going to cause... I was thinking, like, is she just going to give it to William now to ensure that the royal
just
family...
Just give it to William. Yeah, no one wants King Charles.
No one wants King Charles and Queen Camilla.
And Queen Camilla.
I'm sorry.
No.
And she's not going to be queen regardless because of the Diana thing. But, like, yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that... And I was talking to Connor Goldsmith, who's, like, a royal
friend
expert.
Friend of the pod, yeah.
Friend of the pond. And friend of the pond.
Friend
and,
of the pond.
He was, like... He was saying how it's going to the royal family will go on, but this is going to be like such an embarrassment for them and like make them more.
I love they get they get embarrassed at like the literal weirdest things.
Like cross sitting. I think Meghan sat wrong last year and everyone was upset about it.
I remember that.
It's crazy.
And like a kid like waves and does something and they're like, oh my God, like she's out of control.
But like, yeah, it's pretty bad. And, you know, I think Harry's probably traumatized by his mom. Mm-hmm. So he saw what was coming. So, I mean, there's lots of obvious reasons why they did this. Harry's protecting his wife and their baby because his mom literally was murdered by paparazzi.
Yeah.
Like, basically.
Mm-hmm.
They chased her into a tunnel and killed her. So, like, I mean, that if that was me, I would be terrified.
Yeah.
And all the hate she was getting, like, it might be better for her to be in Canada.
I think it's better maybe Canadians for everyone to be in Canada.
Yeah. I mean, right now.
Yeah.
So.
That seems sensible, cozy, beautiful.
Cozy.
And, like, chill.
Chill. But, yeah, so Meghan and Harry are. But a part of me thinks the queen's not going to let them go.
What does that mean? Just be like, she no, can. You have to live at like Frogmore.
I mean, she could basically. I mean, she
can declare and like.
I think the queen
is
can
it like
kind of,
martial law? She just like can do whatever she wants, and you have to obey her.
Well, I think Connor said they played it smart because now the royal family has to negotiate with them publicly.
Oh, I love that.
So I think this was like to get what they want out of it. I mean, it's messy. And now we know, like, they actually hate each other.
Yeah.
Harry and William hate each other.
And for sure.
I don't think Meghan and Kate hate each other, but
I don't think they have any reason to
dislike
each other.
I think it's the brothers.
It's definitely the brothers.
And
it all comes back to Will's wandering dick.
Yeah, and like Meghan was probably like, I had to take the fall for Prince Andrew and Prince William, allegedly. I'm a scapegoat. I get shit from like Piers Morgan and Katie Hopkins.
Can Piers Morgan just like drive off a cliff already? Like, I mean, enough is enough.
Well, his whole thing was like,
even likes him? Who actually is like, God, I love his hot takes?
If you're listening and you like Piers Morgan, please write a five
Press
paragraph
pause
and go and
slam your face into a mirror and then
write a five paragraph essay in a Word doc and make it a PDF and send it to us why you like Piers Morgan.
Yeah, and spell check and grammar check it.
Introduction
and
body
MLA formatting.
MLA formatting citation. I want to know what your reasons for liking Piers Morgan are and like what he does that's good for
then slam your head into a wall until you stop liking him.
Well, he hates Meghan because apparently they were friends. Or like,
who would be friends with that bull toad?
Well, Meghan apparently was like, they were in good, like she was like,
they were cheeky mates.
Like media press thing. And then he tried to like get some, you know, behind the scenes info from her and she refused, so now he hates her.
He sucks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand like where he came from and like why he gets to just continue to like
wreak havoc
so hard.
Well, he
drags down my Daily Mail experience every time I have to see some sort of Piers Morgan hot take. It like truly irritates me to my very core.
Well, I think they like the click. It's like hate.
But I never click on it because I can't give him the power, but it still negatively affects me.
The British tabloids invented like hate clicks.
Yeah.
So
they love it.
I'm hopeful that they'll do something cool and like they're going to be iconic for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So like
that's a fact.
It's a win-win. They come back to America. Everyone's going to love them.
Yeah, I
was reading that Meghan wants to get a place here to be near her mom.
Yeah, why wouldn't she want to get a place here?
So we might have sightings of the Duchess.
That would be, if we got to go out and about and then you would randomly see like Meghan and Harry somewhere, that's Olsen twin level sighting.
In like Brentwood? That's Olsen, I mean, maybe not even that. Olsen twins are above that.
They're above that, but this is like a few notches below.
I think
it's at the tip top of the celebrity food chain.
I thought seeing Angelina was pretty good.
Seeing Angelina is really great.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's up there.
Mm-hmm.
Angelina and like part of her brood is definitely near
but Meghan
the tip top.
Meghan and Harry are
Meghan
above
Harry
that.
Above that.
But yeah, I mean, if that's going to be, if they get, if their deal is like they can hold their titles, still be Royal Highnesses and just get to live wherever they want and do whatever they want, like that's pretty chic.
That's the best case scenario.
And William and Kate,
I guess, have fun.
Yeah.
I'm ready for Kate to like
take charge.
Take charge.
And I hope also, this is good for Kate in some
way.
I
hope it doesn't make Kate like lonelier and more like isolated.
Do you think she ever like texted Meghan?
I would hope that they like have some sort of like text back and forth with each other.
Just being like, this is hell.
Yeah. Or like,
do you think they ever confided in each other?
I would hope so.
It was so brief though. I mean, Meghan was, has only been a princess for 2 years.
Yeah. Like, and she hasn't, they haven't even been dating for that long either. And how long did they even live like within the same zone?
That we know.
Yeah.
Part of me thinks they were dating longer.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And I heard they met via DM.
Chic.
So Harry definitely has a Finsta.
Take to the gram.
Find Harry and Finsta.
Find Harry's Finsta.
Mm-hmm. Expose him.
Expose him just to us.
Find those pics and send them to us. Can you imagine just being like at Erewhon and then being like, I'm a Royal Highness?
Yeah. I can imagine seeing them at Erewhon.
They're going to be at Erewhon.
They will be all up in Erewhon.
With her like her Ray-Bans on.
Mm-hmm.
With like Archie like in her.
In like a strap thing. Mm-hmm. If you saw Harry carrying Archie in the strap thing.
I would faint.
And then Meghan being like, get the goji berries.
Yeah. But like, are they going to have like police detail everywhere they go? I mean, it's going to be messy. That's the thing.
I don't want them to shut down roads in LA.
That would be annoying.
That would be too much.
I would turn on her in a second.
Yeah.
And him.
That's unforgivable.
If I'm in bad traffic on a Tuesday because Meghan and Harry are like going to dinner.
That's unacceptable.
Then I will be like, get rid of the royal family.
Yeah, no, you've got to assimilate. Like, you can't be holding up traffic, these streets.
But that obviously that's going to happen.
I don't know. Maybe they'll just have one bodyguard or two bodyguards.
I mean, when Prince Edward became the Duke of Windsor and like left being a king, they just like lived in isolation in France and it sucked.
Yeah.
And like had people over and like drank all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's gonna
maybe
be like
Canada
that.
Is the best bet for them.
Yeah, I think America might be.
And just like vacation in LA.
Yeah. I just need to see
have them. A vacation house in Malibu that you spend summers at, so you keep all your traffic shenanigans to the west side where they belong.
Well, now that I feel like now they have this like A-list posse around them, like mm-hmm. the Clooneys, Serena, like who they have all these Elton John, like they're now in like the top tier, like Beyonce loves her. Mm-hmm. Like, so they'll, I think now they're probably like, well, now I want to tap into this.
Yeah. Who wouldn't?
But
are you kidding? If that was like my friends all mm-hmm. of a sudden, I'd be like, I need to like live amongst them.
And I've heard people be like, she's a social climber, and I'm like,
well, yeah, you think?
You think? Of course she
oh,
is.
How'd you figure that one out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she did it.
She did it, and more power to her.
And everyone who marries into the royal family is a social climber. Kate Middleton was a social climber. Her family was, like, they put Kate in college to marry Will. So, like,
she had posters of him in her room.
Yeah. She was gunning for him.
I don't hold it against them.
No. You want what you want.
Yeah, go
if you,
get
if
it.
If you wanted it, go get it. Meghan is an American tale.
Mm-hmm.
If you want what you want, you can
let
do
her
it.
Be an inspiration to us all.
She is. Anyway, speaking of inspiration, guys,
it is back.
Vanderpump Rules season
8
Ocho.
We have been doing this for 8 seasons.
God damn.
I've been podcasting about Vanderpump Rules since season 3. So I've been
when
really...
did it start? 2013?
Yeah.
Damn. 8 years. Or 7 years.
7 years. So much has changed.
Well, okay, so
we
watched the episode together and it was like explosive.
It was explosive. The first 7 minutes were truly, it was like the purest form of comedy I've ever seen. Like, I was laughing.
Yeah.
I have not laughed like that watching a program.
No.
In ages. And it felt good to laugh.
I like that they kept it at its roots too, like mm-hmm. just on their a couple waiters on their shift.
Yeah.
Looking hot.
Lisa has a gold cape now.
She does.
In the intro. A glittering gold.
That was wild to me.
That was wild. Lisa, you know, her head is bigger than ever. Her ego is like about to eclipse the sun.
She Meghan Markle'd from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
That's what she thinks. She did Meghan Markle from Beverly Hills.
She Megxited.
So now we're just going to have to like put up with Lisa hobnobbing mm-hmm. with this motley crew.
Now she's
which is
be...
kind of like fine because it's like, okay, everyone's like on the same level of like trash now.
And now she's going to be meddling even more.
Yeah.
And more drama and like more.
All she wants to prodding. Do is like meddle and like have a dog try and fuck her every once in a while.
Yeah. We were horrified by her.
By Schnook.
Schnook.
Schnookums.
Schnookums literally looked like a man in a dog costume.
It probably is.
It was like the Shining Bear.
It's Ken. Yeah. Like,
where was Ken? But that dog looked like the bear in The Shining.
It was the bear in The Shining.
Like, that was a really, it was very Uncanny Valley. Its face was not right. It looked like a human face, like, carved into a dog.
Yeah. Schnookums was, like, hell-bent on impregnating Lisa.
He wanted to, he was like Elon with Grimes.
He was.
I will, you will carry my children.
She was like, whenever I give attention to someone else, he has to have his way with me. And I was just like, oh my God.
Lala was like, so we start off with, it's like dinner time at Sir.
Yeah.
They're all getting to their shift.
Well, it's at Tom Tom.
Well, first, we go to Tom Tom first.
And we meet Max, the Tom Tom manager, part of the new blood.
Okay.
How do you feel about Max?
Max must have a Four Loko dick.
Yeah.
Because I don't see it, like, why he's so appealing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in person he's really hot, but, like, or he has, like, fuck energy.
I just got intel from friend of the pod, Ryan Bailey, a confirmation that both Max and Brett are packing huge dongs.
Okay, that makes sense.
So now that answers that question.
Because they're like wiry.
Yeah, like, Brett is more of a, he's like a he's pipe a cleaner. Yeah, he's Kate Moss.
He's a chimney sweep.
He's Gumby.
He is, yeah, they're both like kind of like willowy Pete Davidson vibes,
mm-hmm.
which like makes, I think Pete Davidson vibe is like in the zeitgeist right now.
Yeah, and it's very Vanderpump adjacent.
It is.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot, there's definitely like a Venn diagram crossover
sure.
between Pete energy and VPR yeah, energy.
Big Pete energy.
We find out that Dana, also a new cast member, who I'm calling now as the MVP of the
new
cast.
You were into her.
I've always been into her since the moment I met her. And I was like, she has whatever you need to like really bring it on a reality program.
I'm like, I'm not there yet with you, but I'm mm-hmm. like, I'm optimistic from what I saw last night.
Had I not met her, it would have taken me a little while. But now that I've like,
does
since
she have
I've
chaotic
interfaced.
Energy?
It's not chaotic energy. It's just like...
I love interface.
Maybe it is a little chaotic energy. It's chaotically controlled energy. And there's like a thirstiness that needs to be there. I don't know. I was just like, she's going to kill it.
Well, that's what we were talking about. And you've expressed this a lot in the podcast. Like the fear of like the desperation isn't there as much anymore. Because mm-hmm. when they first started out, they were so thirsty to be famous.
Yeah.
And that's why the drama was so like insane. And like, you know, you weren't able to look away from it. Because it was like these thirsty, hot, horny people.
Yeah.
And now that they're famous and like actually like are beloved by like A-list people, they're not as, the urgency isn't as
they
much
want
there.
For much less.
But Dana wants for a lot.
Dana wants for a lot. But like the thing, there's a level, I don't think we'll ever get a cast member that is as thirsty as the OG ones were in seasons 1, 2, 3, 4,
right.
et cetera, because the level of the show has been like kind of jumped up in like class
yeah.
profile.
Mm-hmm.
So even though Dana, like a thirsty person like that, season one versions of all the cast members wouldn't even fit into like the world we're in now.
No,
which is unfortunate, but like that's just evolution, baby. So
and I think it was actually really smart for them to wait to introduce new blood
yeah.
to the later seasons. Cause mm-hmm. I think it was like a happy accident, but I think letting these this crop like fully harvest into this batch of like
Now we can really, they're going to weed themselves out organically because it truly is just going to be may the best person win.
Yeah.
And like, if you don't have good drama just naturally and know how to like, or at least know how to engage and bring the lols. Like, I feel like Sandoval brings a lot of lols because he's just so serious about everything.
And earnest.
And even if he is not really having lots of drama or like a major storyline, his very presence is entertaining to watch.
And I think putting someone like Dana, mixing them in with this group of people who are now like so famous,
mm-hmm.
it's going to make them even more desperate because they're like looking up to these like tall trees and they're still like on their, you know what I mean? So it's, yeah. I think having that urgency to like make solidify yourself is like such good drama.
Mm-hmm.
So Dana is she works at Tom Tom.
She works at Tom Tom, but turns out she's so good at her job at Tom Tom, which like, I guess she does work at Sarah.
Yeah.
I've seen her there. But Lisa is apparently poaching her to work at one of the shittiest restaurants in her empire.
I know. Tom Tom looked great.
Tom Tom looked great. Driving. They really pulled out all the stops for that filming day because I've been there and it has looked like trash certain times that I've been there. But like, they really like gussied it up for this shoot.
And so she's slowly transitioning to Sir, and it's like
a downgrade.
It's a downgrade.
It's like it you might better seem start like an upgrade. Sucking some dick because, to get like back to a place of Tom Tom. Because honestly, getting poached to go to Sir is like you're being sold.
She said it like proudly
into servitude. Well, Tom and Tom are like. Tom Sandoval is like, Tom Tom has been open for a year and it's busier than ever. And when we were watching it, everyone cackled when he said that.
Also, just being in Tom Tom, we were at like a screening and everyone was screaming.
Yeah.
Like just seeing it and like it's full, like the gears, it's unbelievable.
And I didn't even find myself like resenting either Tom. I was like delighted by their success.
No, I was so happy for them. And so Max is the manager. He keeps everything like a well-oiled machine.
Yeah, they say the reason that Tom Tom runs so smoothly is because they've hired the best team on the planet.
So the first drama we get is knowing that Max and Dana fucked.
The night before
they're filming the scene.
Conveniently the night before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, like,
there's a lot of like really TBD energy between like managers and staff in this episode.
Yeah.
Especially like with
in this
Dana.
Climate.
Dana is like continually getting me too'd like throughout Peter. This episode by all of her managers. Well, everywhere she goes, there's a manager that's like trying to fuck her.
And it's very risky to do in this climate, but the only show that could do it is Vanderpump Rules.
Because we talked about this on another episode when it was like Vanderpump Rules somehow escaped like Me Too era cancellation.
For sure.
And like now they're just free to Me Too as they see fit.
I think this show might be uncancelable.
Everyone on the show is.
Yeah.
Jax last night like went on Watch What Happens Live and was like, Ariana's a lesbian. She should just come out and like get it over with.
He said that?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
And then she clapped back and was like, it's called being bisexual. Ever heard of it?
Oh, so she's like fully, she's fully open about it.
I guess so now.
Love.
Like, join the club.
Bitch. Oh, my God. That's really cool.
It's cool. But also,
Jax
like,
is such a fuck.
Jax is such an idiot. But also, unfortunately looking hotter than ever. So like, what do we do with that?
We were both floored by just how sexy he looked last night, especially in the party scene with his hat on. But like, Jax has never looked better, and it's unfortunate, but like, it's the truth that we both have.
His style has gotten worse. His style, I think,
impossibly
is worse than
worse.
Ever. I don't understand how he had this type of style in him. Like, I didn't know that this was a way like a direction he would go where
he's
it's like
there.
He wore a sweatshirt with like a plaid Michigan on it.
Yeah.
Like a Christmassy sweatshirt. And I just truly didn't ever see that for him.
Right.
But he is dressing sartorially like a kitschy thing that you would find in like your home goods aisle. Like a Live Laugh Love decal is like his style inspiration.
Like the board games you find at Ross in the bins, that's Jax's style.
Yeah.
And that doesn't make any sense, but it does.
It does. I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Like just like
he's literally like a human Jenga.
He's a human Jenga in the bin at Ross. And that's what we're going with, but he looks fucking hot. And I had this moment where I literally went, he's amazing. watching him. I was just like,
you are
okay,
under
but also
arrest.
I've seen Jax in person and he is undeniably beautiful.
He's hot. Truly, I would like to fuck him.
Me too.
And I would like to slap him in the face repeatedly and punch him while I fuck him.
I think he would probably like that.
Yeah, I think it, well, TBD if he'd let you do it to in the face, because he's been through so many, like,
yeah,
he's had a lot of strikes there before,
but like everywhere else is,
as long as you don't break his nose,
yeah, you're good.
Yeah,
and like God knows Britney's done that.
The amount of like punch fucking she's done with Jax is like
so well before, so yeah, so Max and Dana fucked. Dana clearly likes Max.
Yeah, she likes Max, but the word on the street is that Max fucks everyone.
And so Max is like very nervous. He's like, Dana, he's like openly like, I'm your superior. They go down into the basement and Dana's like, so that was weird.
Like, that was just, like, crazy.
Because they talked to the Toms and they had to act like nothing had happened. And then mm-hmm. like they asked.
And then like she sasses him.
Well, Dana straight up goes to some of the staff and goes, I fucked Max last night.
That's what happened last night. Fucked Max.
And they're like, what? And then the Toms are like, what'd you do last night? And Max is like, just stayed here late, had some drinks, went home. And Dana heard that. So they go down. Dana follows him downstairs and is like, so that was weird. We're just going to pretend like it didn't happen. Because like, I'm good with that. But like, and she's kind of like, as long as you don't erase me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of like, hey, boss, you know, staff relations, like, we can't fuck
with this.
Which
is like, lol, it's too late for that.
It's too late. You've crossed the line.
Once you fuck someone, yeah, you can no longer be like, actually, I'm your manager.
Your big dick has crossed the line.
Yeah.
So Dana's already like a little bit
jilted. Yeah.
Yeah. So then.
But it's okay. It's all good because she's moving to Sir, where another predator awaits. But we'll get to that later. So, Tom Schwartz. Let's talk about Tom Schwartz, because we had like differing opinions on like his well-being.
I think he is unwell. You think he's well?
I put on my like Al-Anon, like my need to go to an Al-Anon meeting glasses.
You had Al-Anon goggles on.
I had Al-Anon goggles on and I was like, he's fine. Like, he looks great. Like, yeah, he's really chipper and like, it's all good. And
meanwhile,
then
I saw,
you saw
the addict in him, which, because I saw myself
on to a desperately
in 2016 in him.
He also, so then on my rewatch, I was like, okay, Lara, it's time to get real. And so I was like watching, and then he brings these like mini tiny shot glasses. And then I was like, whoa, he'll stop at nothing to find a way to like drink. Mainline booze.
Yeah.
Just like hard alcohol.
Yeah. He whips out these little half shots and like these little chalices and hands them to Max. And you're like, let's go, man. Great night ahead of us.
And Tom Schwartz is like, I think I could still find a way to get fucked up on these. And it's like, okay, well, things you say when.
Yeah, so he's on watch. I'm very close to reporting him to Cedars.
Okay, I love
so,
that.
But
his Cedars level.
Cedars
what
level
is
high.
From a 1 to 10, what's his Cedars level?
I'd say a 7.
Okay.
He's like,
that
just,
seems sensible.
I think he's constantly at a 7.
He was born at a 7.
He was born at a 7. But, you know, hopefully he can turn it
and
around.
And then he's just managed to maintain that exact level
exactly.
throughout his entire life,
by
which
being,
is a problem.
By yeah. just being drunk.
Yeah. By being truly just like a booze hound.
Yeah. So that's happening there. And then we cut to.
Then we got to Sheena, who's giving.
The other predator. Sheena's back.
Everyone
on her
is actually taking sexual advantage of underlings.
Newcomers.
Of newcomers, underlings, like naive people that are just like hoping on a wish and a
yeah.
prayer to get somewhere in life.
So Sheena, this is before she's with her Australian beau.
Yeah, before she met her Game of Thrones man.
So she's single Sheena again. She's not with Adam anymore.
Sheena.
She's like fully out of that.
She's giving Brett, another newbie, the rundown of like all his responsibilities at Sir, and then just like a brief history of like mm-hmm. her life. And
so,
she goes, all the girls are gonna look up to you, or all the girls are gonna try and hook up with you because you're so good looking. And like, I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm divorced and it's cool, it doesn't define me. And he just goes, oh wow.
Everyone in the when we saw it, everyone went, no, Sheena.
I live for Sheena. Sheena's also really like straightened her hair. She's mm-hmm. doing like a big hoop.
Yeah.
She's excited.
Newsflash, they fucked.
Yeah, they hooked up the night before when they were out and about in Santa Monica. Sheena invited Brett back to her apartment in Marina Del Rey to play Scattergories
with another guy. And then,
do you think Sheena got Eiffel Towered with Brett?
They were out.
She said that, hasn't she said that she like hooked up before? Oh no, she said she let Rob fuck her in the ass.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, do you agree with me that Sheena's like, probably, I feel like Sheena is more prude than like unfairly people would say. I feel like she has like chaotic like want energy, but I think if you come down to it, she's like just like secretly like a romantic and just wants like tenderness. That's what I get, the vibe I get from her.
Sheena, what's interesting is that she revealed in her podcast that she had never had an orgasm.
I remember you saying
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and so like I think it's like a lot of like chaotic performative sex.
Like Teresa.
Yeah, it's very Teresa adjacent where it's like the act of it is like titillating to her.
She's still scandalized by sex.
Yeah, and so I think that she like uses it, but I think also it's probably what allows her to get like, I don't know, she's a real mystery, that Sheena Shea. But she's a complex human being.
She says every wrong thing you should say.
Like literally the words cascade out of her mouth, like she can't even help herself.
So she and Brett go over to talk to Jax, and Brett and Jax meet, and it's like kind of like Dorian Gray, like he's seeing his like hotter younger self.
Yeah.
And Jax is like, hey man, he's like, sorry, just gotta wipe my hands off, sorry, how's it going?
He goes, hey man, I'm Brett. And he goes, oh, Brad, cool. And he goes, no, Brett. So Jax is already trying to like power move him.
Oh, for
with
sure.
The old I forgot your name immediately number.
And I was like, I had a thought before Sheena dropped the bomb that they had sex. I was like, did they fuck? And then literally a minute later she's like, yeah, we actually hooked up the other night in Marina Del Rey. And then not only do we know that, we find out that Sheena and Max used to date.
So they dated before for a little stretch of time before Sheena invited Brett for Scattergories.
So Max is like already.
So Sheena's literally just like plowed her way through the entire restaurant. I love that Sheena's just like a new blood, like a new guy comes in and Sheena's like, do I want to fuck him or do I not want to fuck him? I want to fuck him. Yeah. And then like goes for it.
Yeah. And then
Sheena
like,
is like trying. She goes for what she wants. And for that, I respect her.
No, I'm Sheena, as you said, carries the show.
She's carrying the show on her back in a Christ-like manner.
She is. She's carrying the cross. And
were it not for Sheena, like Sheena consistently delivers.
She does. So Sheena. And then they cut to a photo of her and Max at like a banquet hall or like at some wedding.
And it's like a beer and
it was like a police beef and beer benefit. And you just see Sheena getting like Max kissing her on the cheek, and she's like, yeah, and then I bought him an Apple Watch, and then he never texted me on it and ghosted me.
And he ghosted me and never even texted me.
So she bought him she's literally
like down to spend like $600 on you.
So Max
if you
is fuck a fuckboy.
You don't even have to give her an orgasm.
No.
I need to know now what her orgasm level is. We're going to need to listen to her podcast again because I'm sure she talks about it a lot.
Yeah.
Any readers that engage with Shenanigans, the podcast, let us know if Sheena's like coming on a regular basis.
Sheena on the beat.
Sheena on the beat.
She is on the beat.
Well, I've come 3 times in my life, so my cum count is 3. Logging off, Sheena on the beat.
So then just as they're talking about that,
we also forgot that Brett reveals that he and Sheena kissed and he didn't like it.
He said during Scattergory, Sheena just reached over and kissed him, and he said she was, and the producer goes, are you saying she's a bad kisser? And Brett goes, yeah. And I was like, that's mean.
Also, Brett's gay.
Yeah, Brett has gay arms.
He's fully gay. He's always like,
mm-hmm. He has like gay sidearm.
Mm-hmm.
If you know exactly what that is.
And he like, the way he like touches his face,
mm-hmm.
It's gay energy.
Gay energy.
Not to stereotype, but also like you mm-hmm. guys know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The real ones know.
The real ones know.
Then we get a shot of Raquel and Lisa. Well, Lisa shows up in her Rolls Royce to check on Sir.
It also looked like, because you only see like a brief shadow of a valet like in the corner. You don't actually see them step into frame. So she like gets out, pulls her Rolls Royce up, and it looks like she just pulled up to like an empty street and then is talking to no one. Which yeah. I was like, I love that universe where Lisa's pretending that her car is getting valeted. Mm-hmm. She was like, keys are in the cup holder.
She's like, it's like a post-apocalypse where everyone's dead except Lisa, and she's just like gallivanting around an empty LA, like,
and like telling
status woman
invisible servants like what to do with her belongings.
Mm-hmm. It's very Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah,
she's just like living her truth. So Lisa goes in, she sees Raquel, who tells her that it's her 16th shift.
And Raquel's having fun.
Raquel looks good.
Raquel loves it. She looks great. She's blonde. Mm-hmm. She's had like a lot of fillers.
Yeah, she's doing
but
well.
But they're settling in. And then Raquel's like, my pageant career has actually really helped me with my waitressing. And Lisa's like, that's unexpected. And she goes, yeah, I greet my tables with confidence and a big smile.
And Lisa's like, good for you, honey.
Yeah, and Lisa like doesn't know what to make of Raquel.
No.
I'm
still trying to figure you out.
I don't know what to make of her either.
Yeah, I don't either. But she mentions that James...
But I love her.
Her appearance last night endeared me to her in a way that I haven't been before. And I was like, well, actually, I was bow down to her when she came out in that outfit in the reunion. So yeah. That was like a gold badge for me to her. But last night I was like, she's going to be good this season.
She's
I just
gonna be
feel
great.
It in my bones. She mentions that James gets sad and looks at her like a puppy every time she leaves to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
He just wants to be back at Sir so bad.
And there was James, no James in this episode. James, so that's a snub.
I also think it's going to be like James will be sporadic this season.
Yeah, because it was too like darkly chaotic last season.
And he's like clearly going through
having an addiction.
Yeah.
Like a serious addiction thing. Wow. I love that like it's taken a while, but like Lisa and Bravo are doing the right thing around it, which is like don't give it more of that behavior more of a platform.
Exactly.
Because he loves the attention and he likes I think he really gets off on the opportunity to be like, fully like dickhead on camera
for sure,
like drunk crazy man.
Yeah So then Lisa is meeting Stoss.
Lisa, yeah, she is meeting Stassi for a little one-on-one.
Stassi's just suffered a loss.
Yeah,
her
Stassi's grandmother,
beloved grandmother,
passed away. Sad for that. Sorry, I am though. That is like sad.
No, she's like crying, and Lisa is like, you know, obviously she's been through her own grief in the last few years, so like she's a good person to like get some clarity with.
Mm-hmm.
Stassi's legit upset. Stassi looks different. It's like that Cola Scola. Something isn't right here.
I think it's the hair color is just dull, mm-hmm. so it's pulling the face down.
Maybe.
Because normally the hair color...
Pops.
And, like, it just, like, brightens.
Mm-hmm.
But something was just, like, very flat to me.
I was weirdly, like, relieved to see Stassi.
I guess she's, like, a necessary evil of the show. And she does, like... She does have funny moments that endear me to her.
But now it's too... But it's too...
But ultimately,
produced now.
It's very produced, and I think she's on a trajectory... Like, she is having her own Meghan Markle moment, where she's, like, hungrily climbing up the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, do what you gotta do, but, like, I don't want to see it. Like, just go and get your own show, and then get off of this one or something. Like,
this is gonna be her last season, I think.
I don't know. It's until like, she just transitions into her own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I bet that they would announce like midway through the season or towards the end.
I think it's coming.
They're going to key it up for maybe like a month or two after the show.
Bo sucks. But we'll talk about that later.
Okay, yeah.
So she's like, yeah, her grandmother died. She's going to go to the funeral. And Lisa's just kind of like...
Lisa's like,
I'm
her
so
makeup
proud of
is
you.
Really mummy-esque. Mm-hmm.
Lisa looked frozen.
Yeah.
She was petrified.
Yeah.
So
In
this scene.
She did a smoky eye that like wasn't sitting well.
Mm-hmm. But she's like, I'm so proud of you for being, you know, New York Times bestseller. Like, you're doing everything right.
Like, yeah. Stassi's like killing it at life.
Yeah. And Lisa's like, I'm so proud of, like, it was like, how far we've come.
Yeah. And Lisa's always had a soft spot for Stassi. So this felt like a kind of a grandmother stand in moment in a way.
For sure.
Who knows?
So,
we also find out that Jax and Tom are on the outs.
Oh,
and Sandoval. Jax is a full groomzilla.
Total bridezilla.
He's fired Sandoval as one of his best men.
So now it's just up to Schwartz, who we know that's not...
He can't carry that torch.
It's a train wreck that he can't avoid.
No, and Jax is the kind of groomzilla that's like having events to like a pre-event to celebrate an event. Like he had a pre-bachelor party and like do whatever you need to do for your wedding. Like it's your journey, but you can't get mad at people that like can't come to, if you're gonna have like five fucking things to like game, like pre-game your wedding. Not everyone can come to that shit.
It felt, for everyone who watches Housewives of Dallas, it felt very Leanne this season with her wedding. She had like 10 events. It's like, stop. Not everyone can afford that. And also Sandoval and Ariana like just are moving into their new place. Like
they bought a house. It was Mother's Day weekend. Like, let him live.
He had to see his family.
And then Jax was like, he never texted me. So he fired him as the best man. They like haven't talked since. And then Jax is like, I'm not trying to make it about me, but it is about me.
Yeah.
And then Sheena was like, it is about you.
It's been about Jax for the last...
forever. We've been watching is the Jax show.
Yeah. It's never not about Jax.
It's not even about Jax and Brittany, because this whole episode, he's just Brittany's... like, I'm getting married. And it's not like, we're getting married.
Brittany was also kind of not featured that much.
No.
What are they... are they doing a wedding thing?
I don't think just so. Like one I think it's episodes? Just covered on this on the show.
Yeah. So then we cut to.
Stassi thinks that Kristen is the big thing is that everyone thinks Kristen is like lying about her relationship with Carter.
They think she's like losing her mind and that she, because Carter and Kristen basically are still living together and sleeping together.
But
they're broken up. So she's mad like, at.
I get that.
But Stassi, in true Stassi fashion, is like,
she's lying
to me. And this, her devastation is, she needs to get over it because I'm upset.
Yeah. And I'm like, she's not lying to anyone.
No.
It's just like a complicated, messy breakup.
But Stassi can't, of course.
It's very binary. It's all like black and white and it's all about her.
But Stassi has been, how many times has she held everyone hostage?
Her whole life has
She's a hostage situation.
She's a fucking hostage situation. Everyone that knows her, it's like she's robbing an emotional bank and they're all laying on the floor praying she doesn't shoot them in the head.
That's such a narcissist move to be like, when you need them, they're like, oh. Like they make it, they find some way
they
to
find
be like,
one little thing and they're like, oh, you're lying. I'm actually really triggered by liars. Like I have to draw the line at like liars.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and then Stassi's like, I just don't think that like, as I grow into the person I'm meant to become, that I can be friends with like someone who isn't growing at all. And I'm just like, that is really rich.
And Lisa's like, you're going to have to find your balance there.
You know, Lisa like hates Kristen.
I know. She loves it.
Tell me a little bit about Kristen.
Tell me what the state of her apartment.
Kristen's literally like, she's not well.
No,
but it's
she's
okay.
I say that we, I know we talk about Midsommar like every episode, but she's truly Flo Pugh in Midsommar.
She is Flo Pugh.
Post like family gas situation. Like she's in a state of duress.
She's like Flo Pugh in like that peach colored t-shirt and like sweatpants with like hair all
the messy side bun.
Literally, and, like, we need a side by side because that was her outfit that she wore party.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com. I'm like oppressed by the layers of heterosexual hell that are going on in the show.
It is so straight hell. This season has never been... Well, now, because they're all like homeowners in the valley.
Yeah. So like Stassi and Beau's like mediocre heterosexual relationship is like... entry level hell. That's just like
the second third ring.
Then Britton Jax is like the next layer of hell, where it's just like a slightly like abusive relationship and like built on lies and like contracts and no trust
and gaslighting.
There's
a shot of Jax mowing. We go to the valley and there's a shot of him mowing the lawn.
Well, like, Brittany like tries to shove a giant pillow. Why is this pillow so hard?
She goes, Jax, why this pillow is so hard? And she's like out in the terrace.
And he's like, can't hear you, honey. So they're like, basically LARPing is like domestic bliss, but you know that like shit's bubbling under the surface.
No, it's a...
They're in a full-blown like
volcano.
Farce. Yeah.
It's a pressure cooker.
And then the uttermost level of hell is Katie and Tom's House of Chaos.
Oh my god, their art.
It's truly the ultimate ring of hell.
Their art on
the
wall.
Where you're just in pure denial about anything that's going on in your life or relationship and putting up like insane art on the wall.
So Sandoval, Ariana, we all know Jax, Brittany, and Schwartz, the Schwartzes, all have
the same version,
the same house
of the same house
that is cropping up everywhere in West Hollywood.
It's a real LA, and it's also, I think I've seen some in Oklahoma. I'm haunted by this style of house. Like, there's no escape. My hell is like,
what is it? It's like bungalow.
It's like a bungalow nouveau farmhouse.
Yeah. White aesthetic. With black shutters.
It's
and
like
black
converted.
Doors.
It's like a converted barn.
Yeah.
Like they want you to think like there was once a farm here and this was the barn, but we made it into a house. But actually, no, you just like tore down the house that was here before and then built this like fake barn house.
It's very Airbnb house.
I hate it so much. Like, I can't deal.
Kristen's house is charming.
Kristen,
that's a real LA
fairy bungalow.
Little, that's a real California bungalow.
She's an LA woman. She's an LA baby, blue jean lady.
She's a true LA queen.
She's a trooper.
So then we cut to Sandoval and Schwartz and Katie are like, they're doing that, like,
they're doing basically their entire relationship and entire lives. Like, is Schwartz being like, we've had an amazing life, like.
Marriage has been so blissful, but he's like, no.
We've eaten a lot, we drink a lot, and we hang out, but now it's time to get the sexy back. And she's like, okay. And she's, it's like, just like,
no, Papa, it's like, no, it's, I don't know what we have to do, because, like, Kristen is, like, really, really sad, and, like, I don't know how much longer I can take it. And, like, I know Stassi's, like, also saying the same thing, Papa.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, I think, like, for the housewarming party, like, we'll bring just it, like, you know, the most respectful thing to do is we'll let Kristen, like, decide if we invite Carter or not.
Yeah. I just, like, I don't know. It, like, Baba,
I was like, oh!
You guys.
Their Baba art, by the way, in the valley is, like, expanded.
It's insane. It's now going to be an entire house full of their, like,
Baba
design
art
aesthetic, mm-hmm, which is my...
Your hell.
It is my hell. Mm-hmm. I'm literally in the uttermost, but I love it.
But you know who's... Positive, I feel such warmth from Sandoval and Ariana's house.
Yeah.
Their house looked fun. They're taking their fucking time to settle in.
Yeah.
They're not unpacked fully. Like, they're really just like...
That, you know, it's going to be really thoughtful. Yeah. Because, like, Sandoval cares so much about, like, the tiny details.
He does. He's such a good...
Partner. They have, like, one credenza, mm-hmm, that's, like, I think that was the credenza that they bought when they lived in that shithole apartment.
Yeah.
But now he's put, like, one of those old-timey, like, record players on it. And it's, like,
it's,
you know,
tasteful.
He's going to be really intense about every detail.
Yeah, they already have, like, their bar set up. Like,
yeah.
It's, you know, things, they're going to make their house, out of all of them, their house will be, like,
that's going to be the cutest one. And Brittany and Jax just, like, moved their apartment into their house. It looks the same.
It's the same.
How do you, like, replicate that?
No. And then Sandoval and Ariana are talking, and he's, like, he's basically, like, he... Again, is like, when Jax asked me to go on that trip, like, my family was in town, like, I had to be with my family, like, he's getting really ridiculous with his want and demands. And he also mentions how when they were going through their home purchasing process, that Jax was, like, Nancy Drewing them and being like, tell me about this square footage over here, da 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 da. And then anything he said, he was like, well, we're gonna do more.
Yeah.
So he was just one-upping Sandoval, like, the psychotic. Like, they literally all moved into the same houses.
So Tom and Ariana got their house first.
They were Ariana's like, we were the ones who led.
Yeah.
There are people who lead and people who follow.
And so then Jax was like, I'm going to get a house, but make sure it's, like, slightly bigger and in a better school district. But is it really? Because I think that they all live within, like, 5 minutes of each other.
No, they all live in the same street.
So then Jax went and bought the exact same house as Sandoval,
but
which would
bigger.
Actually, that would troll the hell out of me. Like, I've been there in that situation before where someone's, like, bought the exact thing that I want, that I, like, identified first.
Yeah.
And I was like, go find something else. Like,
find your own
future. Thing. Yeah.
But it's such a weird thing that they're all, it's like.
But then why would Kate, like, then Katie and Schwartz got a house. And, like, you would think that Katie would be like, no, Baba, like, we're in a different house. But then they both just, like, got the same house.
You know in Hook, like, the Lost Boys, mm-hmm, and they all live in those, like, amazing, like, tree houses stacked in each other? That's what the house, that's what the situation reminds me of.
Yeah.
It's, like, cutesy little, like, cookie cutter things stacked on top of each other in the same bundle.
Yeah.
Like, they're just, like, swinging down by ropes to see each other.
But why, though?
Because they can't, because they're...
It's like, can't...
It's stunted emotional development. They have to, like... Sandoval and Ariana are like, we're doing our thing.
Like we're getting out... Imagine, like, just trying to get away for once from this
and everyone
group
follows.
Of people. And then you cannot even, like, settle down in Valley Village, which is a true TBD zone. And, like...
Where is that? Right over the hill?
It's over the hill, but, like... I think it's actually right off of Ventura.
Oh, okay.
Like, which doesn't actually give anyone any context.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, a really long street that stretches, mm-hmm, through the valley. But I think it's, like...
It's, like, near, like, Sherman Oaks-y.
Yeah, I want to say it's, like, over the hill and then west.
Okay.
but don't quote me on that. But anyways, like, it's far. Mm-hmm. It's a remove. You're removing yourself from like
WeHo.
The hubbub of WeHo and Hollywood.
The youth.
Yeah. Your and then youth. Lo and behold, who follows you over the hill, sets up fucking shop Jax. Down the street in the same exact fucking house.
Just a little bigger.
Is Jax.
Yeah.
And then, I would be
and then
like,
the Schwartzes.
Yeah. And then
Katie Bologna.
Like, and then you have to deal with like Katie as your neighbor.
Yeah. So. So, yeah, so Sandoval and Jax are, like, on the brink.
Yeah, and Brittany says she wants them to make up. I'm on the bram.
I'm on the
bram. I'm on the bram. She says she wants them to make up because she's like, Jax has done a lot to Sandoval. And then it cuts to, like, the flashbacks of Jax, like, admitting that he fucked Kristen and, like without protection. Kristen. And then she's like, but Sandoval's done a lot to Jax. And it's, like, Sandoval beating Jax's ass.
Punching him in the forehead.
As a retaliation for him fucking his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And then she's like, but I think that they should just be friends.
I
want them to be friends.
Because Brittany loves that they're all close together.
Yeah. She loves that they, like, live in the same house.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's in a state of domestic bliss with like her own beer goggles on.
she looks good.
She looks great. I'm loving
she's
the
in
highlights.
Bride mode.
Yeah,
she's in like bride face.
She like, just is like very busy. It seems like
yeah, she's like
she has a lot to do, so she can't really give this show her all because she literally her entire life has led up to this wedding that's about to happen.
God bless her.
What a world.
So then we cut to.
Lala pulling up in the G-Wagon at
Lala Villa Rosa. Is 7 months sober and looks
she's
incredible.
Glowing.
She looks the best she's ever looked. Sobriety's working for her.
Yeah, all her fillers have settled in. She's looking... She has a rich face.
She's clearly working some kind of program. You can tell.
Mm-hmm.
And she's very... She has accountability. She's, like, talking about her past behavior. She's... So Lisa...
Lisa's
like,
also extending a nighttime invitation
to Villa Rosa.
So that's like, I mean, the last person that we saw, we don't really see a lot of people go over to Villa Rosa at night.
Mm-mm.
This is like a
Kyle.
Lisa's trying,
it's like Kyle Richards stuff.
Yeah.
Like Kyle.
And now that Kyle's out of the picture, Lisa needs a new best friend.
She does.
And you know what? Lala has like very, like a Brandy Glanville kind of energy in some ways. Not super, but like...
I think she's sharper than Brandy.
Sharper than Brandy, but like there's a parallel there that I could see Lisa really latching onto and like wanting to...
Yeah.
What if Lala and Lisa both return to Housewives of Beverly Hills?
I think
like,
that...
In
I
a couple
had that
seasons.
Last... I said I think she's going to be on... I think Lala will be on Beverly Hills one day.
She should be.
And if Lisa has an ally,
as
she'll
go
back.
As soon as she gets married to Rand, she should depart Vanderpump and move over.
That's what I felt kind of like what was happening.
I'm in for that.
Also, side note, Brandy Glanville and Denise Richards.
That was my most explosive. That was my level of royal explosion was that allegedly Brandy Glanville and Denise Richards have been engaging in a passionate lesbian affair for months.
It's like Wild Things.
Yeah. And... Then I'm fuzzy on the details, but I guess someone confronted Denise about it and she walked off the show.
She stopped filming.
When the whole cast was in Rome. And apparently Brandy's pissed because Denise told Brandy that she and her husband, Aaron, Big Dick Aaron, were in an open relationship. And Brandy thought like it was all chill, but it's not, which makes it even more passionate.
When you sent me the article at first, I thought... I wasn't like reading it right. So at first I thought Aaron had an affair with Brandy and I was like, oh, fucking Dirty John. Like I knew it.
Yeah.
But
no,
what
it was even better.
Good for her.
I need way more lesbian affairs to happen.
With Brandy.
With Brand. That's a wild.
Wow.
I'd fully hook it up with Denise. Brandy's. But she does. I would. Not that I like, not to be like any sort of vagina shame, but knowing that Brandy has like a whole new vagina,
I'd
check it out. Yeah.
Denise?
I'm
checking this out.
I'd look at it, I'd lift up the skirt and go, what a history.
Wow. And you turn to the camera and go, wow.
I'm checking this out.
What a history.
And then I just like muff dive.
I'm checking this out.
Into the kill.
But that's crazy.
Yeah, but that's crazy, and I hope it's true. People were tweeting at me, like, someone immediately was like, Camille says it's a lie, and then I just X'd out of Twitter because I don't want to hear any truth.
I don't believe Camille.
Yeah.
She's lost.
Yeah, Camille's not, like, a reliable source.
Especially not right now.
No.
So back to, so Lala has a nighttime meeting with Lisa. Ken is nowhere to be found.
And then Lisa's dog humps her. And then Lisa also reveals that she's opened Vanderpump Cocktail Garden in Vegas. But I'm like, why is this getting glossed over? Like, why wasn't this its own whole episode?
Her that iconic moment with her face on, like, the Caesars, yeah, like, electronic billboard.
Also, she's like, well, Caesars wanted to get involved. So Nicolaine, Ken, and I just opened Pump Cocktail Lounge. And it's like, what? You're making it sound like it happened within, like, 2 weeks.
We wanted to make it sort of a quaint place, and then Caesars, then it ran wild, and then you cut to it and it's like palatial,
like, it's like literally an acre.
We do have to go. Yeah,
we need to get a show. Is Gaga still doing Vegas stuff?
Mm-hmm. For another year.
Okay, I need to. Mm-hmm. I'm ready for you to put your paws up
again
and then for us to get some goat cheese balls.
Yes. So Lisa and Lala just talk about, like, how great Lala's doing. She's, like, talking about her sobriety, like, how she's never, like, had so much clarity. We get, like, a little montage of all her crazy Lala behavior in the past, like, headbutting Billy Lee. Justice for Billy.
As
always.
Yeah. Our, like, hearts are with you. Stay just strong.
Just all her, like, getting in people's faces on, like, Adderall and Coke.
Yeah. Lala had a really intense rage energy.
Well, she was clearly on speed.
She was rageful.
Yeah.
You think she was on speed?
Not speed. I mean, like, uppers.
Really? You think she was into the Adderall? I feel like she was just, like...
I think she was on Coke, and I think she was doing blow and, like, drinking a lot.
Okay.
And
love
just getting,
that.
Like, angry.
Yeah, she was...
Because I've
Lala's
been...
Lala's angry.
I haven't been, like, angry that, like, to... Like, that wasn't my... I wasn't, like, angry. Mm-hmm. Like, towards the end, I was, like, psychotic. But, like, I was mostly just, like, messy. But, like, you get that kind of, like...
That's true. You do get... I was a hothead when I was a teen. And
yeah.
And really in my own, like, coke-alcohol hybrid struggles.
Mm-hmm.
All it would take is someone to say one thing. And
or,
I'd
like,
be like,
look at
fuck
you wrong.
Fuck you! Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, totally.
But so Lisa's like, I'm so proud of you, Lala.
Lala's like, I know.
Mm-hmm. And she's like,
going to make amends with James.
Well, Lala's like, I have a household to run, which I love. She runs the house.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The house
Lala,
manager.
Everyone's shitting on Kristen because she pays all of the bills and, like, Carter's like a kept man. And then Lala's like, I mean, I run a household. I give killer BJs.
So Kristen
needs to get her shit together.
So yeah, Lisa's like, James. Lala's like, I'm going to have to make amends with James at some point. And then Lisa goes, he needs to get sober.
He
I was like, now you say
sober.
It. Again.
But you said this last night, but, like, one of them had to get sober.
Yeah,
someone from the show had to take the plunge. And
of
it was
course.
Truly Lala was kind of the least expected person.
I was shocked.
But I'm glad that someone's doing it.
Someone
and bringing awareness in, like, a real grounded way. Not like a Mike Shea struggles with, like, pain pills way.
No, she... it was inevitable. Like, it was unsustainable. Like, there was so much, like, energy and, like, madness and, like, drunkenness that, like, somewhere in this, like, cauldron, someone had to, like, come up for air.
Yeah.
And I'm shocked that it was Lala because she's young and, like, it's rare for, you know, like...
But I think she's leading by example and will be, like... She's a good person for the other cast members to look to mm-hmm. and, like, mirror that behavior.
And she's what I really liked is she said, I'm not someone that's going to force my sobriety on someone else,
mm-hmm.
which is, like, that's why I know she's working, like, a program of recovery. Cause, like, that's what you don't force it on someone. You, like, lead by example.
Yeah.
Which is what you just said. And mm-hmm. I think, so I'm hoping James, we'll see the light.
I hope for him.
But yeah, Lala looks great. And then
Stassi goes over to see Kristen before she jets out of town to, like, read the eulogy at her grandmother's funeral. And Kristen is frayed.
She walks into her apartment. She's still, like, packing all her shit up. And Kristen
does not know her own moving date.
She goes, why didn't you just come in? And she goes, well, the door's locked.
And she goes, oh.
And then, like, Stassi comes in and
Kristen's unwell.
The place
Kristen's
is a mess. Like,
what's her Cedars level is about at a 9.
9.5.
9.5.
She's on the verge.
Right about there to, like, press the red Cedars button.
Mm-hmm.
And Stassi's like, when are you moving? And Kristen's like, what?
I don't even know.
I don't even know.
And Stassi's like, well, when do you have to be out? And she goes,
next week. She goes, so that's your moving date.
And she's like, I'm going to get a drink. And she goes over and gets a bottle of rosé.
Pours like a huge glass of rosé for herself.
And for Stassi. Mm-hmm. And they go over and sit on the couch. And Kristen has been crying, clearly.
She's really sad. And I think, like...
We cut to, it says 1 hour earlier, and you see her and Carter.
Her and Carter. Kristen being like, I want to kiss you. I want to hug you. Like, I want you. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, when you're having that conversation with your boyfriend, like, soon to be ex, it's like not good.
No.
I'm like, kudos to you to, like, let someone film that, because that is another version of my hell.
But I love that it was 1 hour earlier.
I love also going from that intense conversation to then having a friend over.
Mm-hmm.
And it all being on camera.
But that is that friend group.
That is that friend group. And also, it's like, their lives are really embroiled. How long have her and Carter been together? Like, 3 years?
Yeah, they live together.
They live together. They have dogs together. Like, it's not the kind of breakup that's going to happen overnight.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Stassi was with Patrick on and off for a really long time.
Yeah, lest we forget.
And he was
her,
the worst. Her, he was maybe the worst boyfriend of all time.
Yeah.
And then, like, her and Jax were in a drama period in, like, season one when they, like, broke up and, like, almost got back together. And it was, like, nonstop, like, up and down drama, like, breaking up and getting back together for months.
Yeah, you know, history is soon forgotten with Stassi.
Yeah, with all of them. It's so irritating.
They all have revisionist
history.
They
have no empathy for Kristen.
No.
And, like...
But I said last night that, like, I think this whole time... Kristen's just been surrounded by awful people.
Yeah, she's been surrounded by assholes, but she still is, like, trying to get them to, like, understand or, like, see from her perspective. And I'm like, hun, well, they ain't never gonna happen.
Most of them see in black and white and, like, are so, like, binary. And Kristen is a perfect element for the show because she's like, things are complicated.
Yeah.
Things are messy. I'm
trying to figure it out, but it's really hard.
It's really hard, and she's just
it's
honest.
It's human. It's a human struggle.
She is.
And, like, Sheena only sees herself, so she's not, like, mm-hmm. she's kind of in a different thing. Brittany, I don't know what to make of her.
Brittany has a heart,
and, like,
she has empathy.
It. She's not going to, like, accuse you of lying.
But she's limited.
Yeah.
Lala has the potential to understand, but she's
find out in a
she's
bit.
All over the place. But yeah, so Kristen and Stassi are like, she's like, it's just been hard, like, without you and Katie. And like, and she's like, well, Stassi's like, stop lying.
And it's like, when you tell someone they're lying who's not lying, mm-hmm. that's abusive.
It is abusive. And then Kristen ends up being like, I just, like, want to judge people and go to lunch with you. And Stassi's like, there's my girl. And, like, goes over and gives her a big hug. And it's like, oh, so you're just... You want her to suppress herself.
Yeah.
To be, you're saying that, like, in regardless of, like, they all, they mentioned that this episode, like, how much time they spent talking to Kristen, like, off the ledge, like, all hours and hours. It's like, that's a friendship.
That's called being friends.
Yeah.
It's like, your friends have problems that they need to talk about, and you talk about problems with them.
Yeah.
And then, like,
everyone has a turn. Mm-hmm. Everyone has a turn. Like, I remember when I watched the movie It's Complicated when I was younger with my mom.
The best.
And I was like, God, it's all about her. It's all about Meryl.
It is all about her.
And then my mom looked at me and she goes, everyone has a turn.
Wise words.
But it's true. Like, every friend and every group, like, someone has a moment where they need more help than others.
Yeah. And
Kristen's
I think
in that moment.
Kristen, from one depressive to another, I feel like Kristen is kind of, likes to be sad sometimes.
Yeah,
she's a bit of a sad girl, and I like understand that energy.
She has to like do something about it.
Wallow. She like likes to. She spend maybe not likes it actively, but she spends a lot of time wallowing and like.
I think Stassi, if she had said do something about it, go to therapy more, or like get on medic, do something about this.
Yeah,
like it's okay that you're sad, but like be proactive about it, change things up, do like focus on your, like if she had been more like constructive.
Yeah.
But instead being like, what, everything you're feeling is a lie.
Yeah.
Like, that's what was
stop
so
lying
up.
And like yelling at her and then like not being there. And it's not, that's not supportive.
No. And that's, she's not lying. She's just, she doesn't
confused.
Know how to manage her depression.
Yeah. She clearly has like some mental issues at play that are maybe being triggered by this like breakup. And
anyway,
like, just give a bitch a break.
Yeah.
So anyways, Katie looks like in her confessional, like she just came out of a K-hole and crawled out of the bathroom at Studio 54. And crawled up into that chair and started just like talking.
I know. She does look a little wild.
I'm like, whoa. I'm in, I'm kind
the blue
of into
eyeshadow.
It. The blue eyeshadow, the crimped hair. I'm kind of into it, but I'm also just like, who is this? Like, what costume party were you just at? Honey.
She was at Studio 54.
She was.
With Bianca Jagger.
Yeah, Bianca rode in on the fucking horse for her birthday party, and then Katie did a rail, and she thought it was Coke, but it was actually K. Then she got, like, fully K-tarded and, like, came to blabbering about, like...
At 10 a.m.
At 10 a.m. in the bathroom.
I gotta go. So she goes to...
She goes to the
Port Authority, like, restroom and, like, puts on blue eyeshadow and walks out into the sun
kind
in Midtown.
Kind of, like, fluffs her hair a little bit.
Yeah. I gotta get to a confessional.
Oh, my God.
So, is this... Do we cut to the party now?
Now we're at the party.
So, Chris... Or Katie and Schwartz are having...
Their housewarming party.
Which... Pajama party.
I need a full house tour. Like, I have no sense of, like, spatial awareness where anything is. It's, like, so chaotic. Like, there, I can't, like, tell you where the front door is in relation to, like, the kitchen or, like, the guest bathroom.
It just looks like one giant room.
Yeah.
It's
with, like a garage kind of wall that opens up. And also, can I just say, I don't like how close their swimming pool is to their house. That feels, like,
dirty.
Weird. Kind of.
Yeah.
I've never really seen a house with a pool that's, like, a foot away from the house wall.
Yeah. I mean, I think like, yeah, it's just like trying to maximize like square footage, I guess.
I don't know. It just felt like
they're
strange.
They have a backyard.
They have a backyard.
So they invite the whole crew over and again,
to, like, drink Dole.
They invite the whole crew over to like, and again, like Chris, they're not sure if Carter's going to come, like what they should have done, but we end up knowing what they did.
Yeah.
But, so the whole crew eventually comes over, including Dana, Max, and Brett.
Mm-hmm.
And Sheena comes with Max.
No, she comes with Brett.
Oh, she comes with Brett.
Yeah, but Max is there. I was really confused. So I was glad to have watched it a second time because Sheena arrives with Brett, but Max is already there. But Sheena, even though she like recently hooked up with Brett, is going to Palm Springs with Max and some other people.
She
not as like a couple, but like as a group of friends. But it's like, that is a recipe for like fucking.
Yeah, she walks in and she's like, oh yeah, Max and I are like best friends. We're going to Palm Springs together.
She's like, oh, we're best friends. I mean, we're not best friends.
We're not
like
best friends.
We talk all the time. We're like friends.
We're always together.
We're also going to Palm Springs together.
Yeah. And they're like, that's weird.
Yeah.
So Dana comes too.
Dana comes and Peter is also there.
Peter
is
looks
thick. He's thick as hell.
His arms are like bulldozers.
Yeah, she's jacked. She's been growing her hair out, hitting the gym.
He looks very Kevin Sorbo.
You're fully DTF with Peter.
Completely.
I love that for you.
He's like Kevin Sorbo in Hercules, who I had like a thing for as a kid.
Yeah, he is like that.
So I'm very into this look. I mean, his arms are... They're too big for who he is.
Yeah.
He's not
meant... You want him to put you in a sleeper hold.
Yeah. Like, knock me unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, they're not, like, by punching, but just...
Just a light... Yeah.
And
just
then,
a laying you down on the ground.
And then I wake up in his arms.
Yeah. He's hugging you.
Mm-hmm. But his arms look cartoonishly big, and they look like the Hulk arms that you put on like, Halloween.
Yeah. They're kind of situation-esque, too, where his arms were, like, weirdly inappropriate for his body.
But not leathery like him.
No, not
they're
leathery.
They're, like, they don't really
smooth.
Have... They're, like, smooth... He's, like, smooth bulk.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of looks like milk.
Yeah.
He looks like just, like, a bag of milk, but, like, defined.
Yeah.
I don't really know what I'm saying.
You're like, he's creamy.
He is.
He is.
So he's...
But also, I'm just, like... Very much secondhand embarrassment for Peter because as we see everyone rise in the ranks, it's becoming quite clear that Peter is just going to remain a manager at Sir forever.
I think he's cool with it.
I think that's, yeah, I think so too. But I also think he wants more than that, kind of, but doesn't know how to do it.
Peter's like the friend of the group that's like not, who's just kind of there all the time.
Mm-hmm. He's there and he's like low key, just like taking more shots than anyone.
Yeah. He's like the like
Peter might be just like,
friend.
Yeah, he might be just like low key blackout this entire time, like silently blackout.
He's like the friend that like no one ever has a problem with, no one ever has issues with, like they're just, and they're just like genuinely just chill and mm-hmm. like down with whatever. And like they're there and people aren't like necessarily like
threatened by him.
No. He's
even
just like
obsessed of him. It's just like, oh, hey, Peter.
Yeah. Oh, Peter. Hi. But he confronts Dana because last year at that party for his birthday, right?
Or yeah, the boys' Dana night. Had just moved at boys' night. Dana had just moved to LA and like got invited somehow to boys' night. And she and Peter ended up in the bathroom together. And I remember this like episode. And Peter is like, well, now that you're coming to Sir, I just want to like make sure that there's not going to be any weirdness between us because of what happened that night. And Dana just fully shuts down this conversation. And is like, what do you mean what happened? And he's like, well, you know what happened in like the bathroom. She's like, I peed in the bathroom. Like, I don't know what you think happened. He's like, you see him kind of like almost look at the camera.
Yeah.
And he's like, we'd made out. And she's like, no, you tried to kiss me and I moved away from you and then I left. And then you just see Peter go, oh, well, yeah, I just want to make sure that things aren't going to be weird. And she's like, they're not. Thank you. And like leaves. And I'm just like,
it was so cringy.
It was bad for Peter.
Yeah.
Dana, like, that's my new favorite tactic.
I'm
gonna
really
start doing that. If anyone from the past that I've like regret hooked up with tries to ever bring it up, I'm gonna full-blown Dana them.
I was that was like kind of thrilling to watch.
Yeah, she handled that well,
just without skipping a beat,
with not even like not even an argument about it, just fully recreating the narrative.
And if they did make out and she's
calling the like, that's ballsy too, because like if you tried to do that with Jax, like, he'll fight you on it.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a chance that someone will push back or, like, bring the receipts. But someone like Peter, who's a little, like, not as quick as most people, is just like, what?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was, like, it was painful. But also, if they did make out and she's just fully denying it, like, that, she's amazing.
Yeah.
But even if they didn't and she's like, I'm not going to let you have this.
Yeah.
Which I loved.
Either
way, she's iconic.
Yeah, she gets it.
So yeah, the parties is kind of like happening. They're all there. Katie and Lala have a little picnic at one point in the backyard.
The cheese plate that they have made me really sad.
Yeah. I mean, there's no like furniture.
Their cheese was like just slices of cheese that they pulled out of the thing and didn't even bother to separate. They just like threw a chunk of sliced cheese. That's not a cheese plate.
It wasn't.
The charcuterie freak in me was really upset by that.
I was offended too.
But I just like chose to move on.
And then we see that at one point Sheena's talking to like Brett and Max together, which is, and then, well, no. Brett and Max are exchanging notes.
Yeah.
And they're both like, you hooked up with Sheena? You hooked up with Sheena?
Brett's like, do you ever feel like she was just like always around you? Like never, like he's realizing like what Sheena does when she's in a relationship is, just, or she thinks she's in a relationship. And like Max is like, yeah, like she's boy crazy, like she's intense, like talking shit about Sheena.
And then Dana's there.
Katie's there.
Oh, Katie's there. Katie is getting her dull juice out.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, I thought she was drinking half and half. Like I was
pours
like,
pours herself a huge glass of half and half.
Yeah. I was like, what?
Takes
and then
a sip and is like, refreshing. Nothing like half and half for a summer housewarming daytime party.
She's pouring like mango Dole juice, but she's overhearing and she's making this like super performative like.
She loves like she loves like kitchen drama.
Yeah,
she did this in like another episode in another season where it was like there's like, you hear the things, but it's like, oh my God. And yeah. It's just like, okay.
She's going like,
There's not a lot of energy that she can really bring to this show that would be positive.
No.
This is like as positive as it kind of gets for her.
She's like, And then she goes over and
immediately tells Sheena.
Goes over and she's like, Sheena, what's going on with you and Brett and Max?
Max said you were boy crazy.
She's like, wow, that's like kind of weird. And
Sheena has like her full half up, half down.
She looks like that Barbie on like memes, of, you know, with like the hair up.
The like from the Rugrats, yeah. Cynthia.
No. Like this bar, it's like this meme of this Barbie looking like with like hair
the night
all in
after
her.
After something yeah. like that. Yeah. Her half up, half down is like askew. She's trying to do this like Kim K look, but it really isn't working.
No.
And then Sheena just like goes right over to Max and she goes, did you say I'm boy crazy? And then he's like, well, God, no. And she's like, you did. Katie just heard you and told me. And she says word for word what he said back to him. And he's like, well, that's not like the way it came out. And then Sheena goes into full meltdown mode and is like dabbing eyes.
She's a giant Kleenex. And she's like, cool, because that would have been really, because like we're hanging out all the time.
You
and
know,
like,
that, it's like, fuck that. Like, I'm not, like, I don't want to be called crazy. Like, I'm not crazy.
I'm
like,
not
I'm
crazy.
Not crazy. I'm not boy crazy.
And then they like comfort her.
And then she needs a hug. There's one point where she's like in her I'm not crazy monologue and Schwartz is standing next to her and he's in a full-blown K-hole.
Yeah.
It just, I like
his eyes
are fully dead. He's not focused, not looking at her, not looking at the camera, just like staring off into space. And I was like, where is he right now?
That's like, when I was like, fully, he's unwell.
Then you were like, yeah.
He's also wearing like a prison, like a
like a prison muumuu.
Well, I said he's wearing this muumuu that looks like Wee Willy Winky on like GHB.
Yeah. He is swirling.
Yeah.
With his little mini shot glasses.
And he's like a candlestick and a little cap and he's like traipsing around.
He's like, ah, are they asleep tonight?
Are your children asleep? So Sheena has that little drama, which was so relatable, and I just loved it. I'm not crazy.
It's like I love when you work yourself into a cry.
Yeah.
Kristen shoots vodka into Schwartz's mouth, and then she shoves him into the swimming pool, and I truly thought he was about to break a leg in half.
His little legs,
like it's actually a miracle that he survived that push, because that is like, you could have $1 million babied, you could have broken a leg, at the very least you could have fallen down and like really bruised yourself, but he somehow manages to do none of that.
Well, that was like blackout adrenaline, where like when you're completely out of your body in a blackout and like your brain in certain moments will just turn on to like...
and guides you
yeah,
into the light.
That's what that was.
That was a touched by an angel.
It really was.
Like when I was growing up, we used to read like these like Christian magazines, mm-hmm. and there was a column called Touched by an Angel, and it was always like a story
near death.
Yeah, it would be like a story of a miracle, like where it was like, it was storming one night, but then we like saw a bright light and I said, get out of the house. And as soon as we stepped out of the house, a tree fell on the house. And it's like, that was touched by an angel. And
yeah.
That's like, Schwartz could write into that column.
He could. And then previously though, Kristen was like, yeah, I just like don't even know like what's going on with Carter. She's talking to Katie and she's like, I mean, I don't even know if he's like invited.
And then
Carter walks in,
strolls in.
And she goes, speak of the devil. And she's wearing a shirt that says
Born to raise hell.
Like
this is her midsummer flow pew outfit.
It is. She's wearing like a crop top and like pajama pants because it's like a pajama theme. So everyone's like wearing like,
it's comfy chic, according to Katie, which those two things, there's no intersection of.
No.
Just FYI.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But like, let's call a spade a spade.
Exactly.
Peter drinks a punch bowl full of tequila. After his grand humiliation, he has no choice but to go back into the depths of unconsciousness.
And then when Carter's there, Lala was talking to Katie and she was like, I want to get the real story. So Lala goes up to Carter and she's like all about defending Kristen. And she's like, this girl, like, I see what you're doing. Like, you know, you get like free rent, you get a place to stay, your girl pays for you, she's got a job, like you're taking advantage of, like going on and on. And then Carter literally goes, that's not what happened. And then Lala literally is like, fuck Kristen.
She goes, oh really?
Oh really? Well,
this is crazy. This is crazy.
Crazy. This is now things are grayer.
This is now there's a gray area.
Carter
no
literally
says any gray area.
Carter literally says no. He just goes, that's not what's happening.
Then he goes, She calls me every day. Okay, I'm like, you live together. So yeah, she calls you. When she needs someone to lean on, she calls me. It's like, okay, yeah, you're her ex-boyfriend. Yeah. And he's like, who do you think did her shoot today for her product line? Like, it was me. And then Lala goes, oh, that is too much. Like, I had no idea. Yeah. And it's like,
how fast, bitch, Lala, like, turns.
So a turncoat.
Yeah, I just love that she's all about like women and like empowering women. And the minute a guy's like, that's not what is actually what's happening, Lala's like, oh, you're right. Like, God.
And Lala marches back in there and is basically tells Kristen, she's like, don't ever talk to me about your problems ever again.
Yeah.
Because now I know the truth.
Yeah.
There's a gray area.
Yeah.
And then Kristen's, everyone's so binary. Like, they cannot take the gray area.
Kristen's like, what are you talking about?
And then she's like, you've just done to me what you did to Kristen and Stassi. And I'm not, or to, you just did to me what you did to Katie and Stassi, and like, I'm not here for it.
Yeah. And then they start having a full blown fight.
Yeah. And then once she said, brought up Katie and Stassi, Kristen is like, fucking explodes.
Yeah. But meanwhile, out on the pool deck, Jax and Sandoval have a heart to heart.
Oh, yeah.
Jax,
they're
looks
sitting
so fucking hot.
Fully clothed on like the wet edge of the pool. You know, when like some hot tubs just like meld into the pool.
Jax has his jeans like rolled up.
His jeans are ripped, shredded from like the groin to the ankle. Ugh. Which is such the most disgusting look.
Yeah. And they're like, he's like, man, like, you haven't been there for me. Like, I've asked you to like be on things for my, you know, as my best man. Like, you haven't done stuff. And he's like, Jax, when my family was here, I had to go be with them. And he's like, I literally texted you.
He goes, you never even texted me.
Sandoval goes,
I literally did text you. Like,
and he brings
it.
His phone out and he shows, he's like, and look, and Jax goes, I don't remember
he
that.
Goes,
and
he goes, look, I texted you this.
And you respond.
And he goes, I don't remember. You responded, okay, cool. And then Jax is still pretending like,
he's like,
he goes, okay. Like, as like, though it's not real. Like, he'd still doesn't believe it, even though the evidence is right in front of him.
And he's like, look, man, he's like, Sandoval's like, you're getting married, like, Ariana and I aren't going to get married. We're not going to have kids. So, like, our house is, like, our wedding, basically. Like, that's, like, us getting married. And, like, I felt like you didn't take it seriously slash give me any of, like, what I needed from you as, like, my best friend. Like, some, like, support and, like, that's a mate, like, pat on the back. And, like, you felt like you were one-upping me and you're talking about, like, school systems. And Jack's like, well, I mean, we need a better school system. Like, Brittany, you know, she wants 3 or 4 kids. Like, we're going to have to, like, really get it down. And Sandoval's like, you're missing the point.
Again, oppressive heterosexuality.
And then Jax is like, all right, man, well, you still my best man or what? And then Sandoval's like, yeah, I'll be your best man. And they hug.
Yeah, so like, but they buried the hatchet.
For now.
For now, but all is not well.
All is not well. So then Kristen is fighting with Lala.
When she's fighting with Lala, she goes, I crave honesty from people. That's what Lala says.
Some people crave food. Some people crave water. Lala craves honesty.
Gosh, I'm fucking starving for some honesty right now. Someone just tell me a truth.
So then they start fighting. Then Katie like has it up to here with that. And so she comes over and just gets in Kristen's face.
Well, first Carter comes up to Kristen and is like, they're like mumbling to each other. And then he's like, I just love you so much.
Oh, yeah. And everyone and he, like, we were watching with went, ooh.
Sucks on her ear and like softly kisses into it. And she, you can see her like go to a place of like
flow.
Yeah, a flow. And then he leaves and he blows her like this dramatic kiss. But she's like fully sucked back into his game of lies.
And he goes, I love you.
I love you.
And he walks into the yard to like smoke a Black and Mild.
I don't understand why everyone, like, where did all these breakup rules come from?
I don't know. And then everyone pounces on Kristen.
Did they just listen to, like, Dua Lipa rules and they're, like,
Lala's just
like,
gonna
new rules?
Mid-fighting, she's going to start just quoting new rules.
I got some moves I got.
She goes, one, don't pick up the phone. Don't pick up the phone. You know you're like, going to end up in his... You only know you're calling him because you're lonely. And don't let him in. You know you're going to wake up in his bed in the morning.
Yeah.
Because if you're under him, you ain't getting over him. And then Kristen's like, what the fuck?
What the fuck?
What the fuck? It's going to confuse her even more. The fuck are you talking about?
Flow pew on shrooms in the field pre-Midsommar.
No. Don't think about that. And then she goes, they're laughing at me. I love that part.
Yeah, so Kristen's like fully spiraling, and then Katie, well, she calls Lala a bitch, and then Lala goes, "Do not call me out on my name." What does that mean?
I don't know.
She said it five times.
"Do not call me out on my name.
Do not call me out on my name.
And then I was so...
You looked at me.
I looked behind you and I went, "What?
What? What's going on?" We both didn't know.
And then Katie bulldozes her way through. Just like, she just gets like, Tequila Katie comes in and she just... "Get out of my way."
Yeah,
she
goes right in there. The destroyer.
She's like, and she's just yelling in Kristen's ear. She's going,
"Get over yourself!
Get over yourself! Stop yelling on my balcony and crying for hours, Kristen! I'm just gonna stand here and yell it into your ear." And you just see Kristen, like, her eyes closed, just hearing, like, "Honk, honk, 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 honk."
Yeah. She's the best way to deal with Katie yelling at you is to just fully go into your most zen self.
Yeah. And while Katie's yelling, Schwartz comes in from the yard and he goes, "Is that my wife yelling?" And he goes, "Oh."
Santa goes, "Yeah, that's your wife." And then he goes, "I'm out of here."
He just leaves, probably like jumps over the fence.
Yeah.
Crawls back to their old apartment.
Cuddles up in like a corner. Yeah. He shivers himself to sleep.
You said it was going to be like... Never mind.
What? Say it.
Like the Robert Downey Jr. waking up in like a neighbor's bed.
I thought it's like not out of the question for Schwartz to get so fucked up that he stumbles into a child's bedroom and just like gets in their race car bed. But the family that finds him would be like charmed, you know, because he always gets a pat. They're just like, "Oh, you're so floppy." And like
Katie waits outside in the car.
She's like, "I want nachos today."
Yeah.
"We're getting nachos on the way home."
So Kristen
is like, then she's like, fuck this.
And she just leaves.
She just gets her purse and then just like walks out.
And they're like, bye.
She's a bit in Jabberwocky mode. Like she's having like a little bit of Jabberwocky spastic rage. Movements. Yeah. But then she just gets out. And we were both like, did she drive? Like, where did she
I think she
go?
Walked back to West Hollywood.
She speed walked like in the Olympics, you know, they're like.
She walked up Laurel Canyon just like dun 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 dun, dun.
With your little hips like swiveling back and forth as fast as you can go.
Cars careening out of the way.
And then Brittany's like, "You guys are friends, try and talk it out." It's too late.
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah.
It was a great opening.
It was a great opening. It's really promising.
The season looks insane. Someone gets arrested at one point.
Yeah. I'm excited for that. I'm excited for Sheena's inhaler.
I'm excited for Pride. I'm excited for James Kennedy calling Raquel. Fuck you, Raquel.
Fuck you, Raquel.
I'm excited for...
Fuck you, miss.
Some kind of funeral.
Oh, yeah. I guess they're having like a funeral for like single Jax or something.
Yeah. It's going to be good.
Yeah. And
they brought it. The new people are bringing it.
Yeah. I'm happy with everything. I think we're back up to just like... homeostasis.
Yeah, just like daily, not like overarching narratives, just like daily
dramas.
It can
be like season four felt like this, where it was like nothing too crazy was happening, but it was just at the base level, and that's fine,
just like friendly fire.
Yeah, but I can't go to a place of season seven again.
No.
If so, anyone, if you're involved with the show and you're listening, know that
us.
Know that,
well,
she will be revealed.
She will be revealed tonight. As you heard in...
on Tough Sicilian Bitches.
She will be revealed tonight.
She will be revealed tonight. You guys, please like and subscribe.
Buy tickets to our tour.
Buy tickets to our tour. We're going to be live in Los Angeles on March 11th.
At the Roxy Theater.
At the Roxy Theater, taking the iconic stage that Sheena Shea once graced us with her... hit
As Good as Gold.
Good as Gold. And The Girl I Want to Be. And we're also going to be in Chicago and New York. But the first show, our little tour, kicks off on March 11th.
Guys, it's Vanderpump season. We're in the area. Like, we need to get our Angelinos. Like,
yeah.
We need to be good as gold for you. So you need to be good as gold as us.
Yeah.
By that, I mean, buy a ticket to our show. Come
buy
see
to
us.
Our show. Come see us. Come law with
it's
us.
Gonna be, it's going to be alive with like the Vanderpump spirit. So like,
yeah,
why not join?
These are the best days of our lives.
These are the best days of our lives.
And if you want to hear Carrie and I really do a psychic forecast of the week ahead in the bonus episode.
Subscribe.
Patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast. Follow Carrie at eCarrieO. Follow me at Lars Marie.
And
fuck off.
Fuck off. Suck a dick.
Bye.
I know I'm feeling. Cause I know I'm feeling. Cause I know
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.